Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the African Roots Podcast. Today is Friday. It is August 14th, 2015. My name is Angela Walton Raji. And remember, you can always reach me at AfricanRootsPodcast@gmail.com. Well, everybody, how are you? How has your week been? Oh my goodness, lots and lots and lots of things are going on. Well, in fact, I'm coming to you a few minutes late, or taping this a few minutes later, only because I just got offline and was watching a live stream coming from Utah this morning with Tom Reed, who many of you know is very, very active in the Discover Freedman Project, the indexing initiative. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few moments, but I hope that you are indexing out there. But anyway, what's going on in the genealogy community? I want to point out that someone shared with me some information on a new database, and those of you who have ancestors who may have ended up in the British Isles or in the UK, you might be kind of interested in this. And of course, there are some events going on. But I want to first of all say congratulations. Congratulations to the Black Belt African American Genealogical and Historical Society on their brand new publication. It is a new heritage book. Volume 1, it is said, so that means that there will be a volume 2, which I'm just thrilled. Anyway, there's going to be a special event coming up. I'm going to put a link to you for it and to their site for you, because I want you to just take a look, see about the heritage book. And I'm thrilled to see it because there are not many heritage books that are African ancestored in focus. I will point out that the African American Genealogical and Historical Society of Chicago, to my knowledge, was the very first African-American genealogical group that ever produced a heritage book, and it is absolutely beautiful also. And if you want to take a look, by the way, at what the Chicago Society produced under the direction of Janice Minor Forte, I encourage you to follow the link that I shall post for you on the podcast website, because theirs is completely digitized and rests on Family Search. So that's just fabulous that it's there. And I am now impressed and just delighted to point out that there is now a new African American heritage book that has been produced, and it is coming to you, of course, out of the Alabama Black Belt. So congratulations to the Black Belt African-American Genealogical and Historical Society on this brand new publication. It looks beautiful. I've not had a chance to see it as yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm hoping that perhaps at an upcoming event, maybe at the National Arts Conference, I'm not sure. Maybe I will be able to put my hands on the book and take a really good look at it. It's really exciting to see. How many times have you visited a library or a genealogical repository and gone, been excited to see wonderful books on the shelves, found a book maybe focusing even on your own county and ancestral community, only to find out that no African American families were included? Well, again, wow, this is just a delight to hear about. I hope others will emulate this. It does take work, and this summer, and the writing group at Maggie, Janice Forte talked about that entire process and what she really had to go through to get it organized, because she's really, I guess one could call her the editor-in-chief, so to speak, of their heritage book. And it is certainly something that's labor-intensive. It is a collaboration of many people, and there are lots of moving parts, so to speak, to putting together a heritage book. But wow, when it's done, you have a lasting legacy for the community. And I just think it's fantastic to know that there is another one that's out there on the scene. So, you know, just a very warm congratulations to the Black Belt Society and what they have been able to put together. I'm just really thrilled to see that. By the way, I did mention last week, what's her name? Sharma Cargoba, who many of us know in this area here in the Mid-Atlantic. She gave part one, or presented part one of a two-part series looking at vital records. And her presentation is a two-hour session at the Alexandria, Virginia Black History Museum. Well, part two is tomorrow, also at the same facility. And again, she is looking at vital records and the different kinds of vital records there are and what can truly be found. Now, one of the things I will say about any kind of record, but I do enjoy vital records as well, is that one record can frequently generate other records, or at least for the researcher, become a launching pad and tell you an awful lot of things that can be gleaned from that one record. It can point you to other things. When you see the informant, there's a person to go and research because you want to find out what that informant's relationship was to, let's say if you're looking at a death certificate, what that relationship was to the deceased. One death certificate can point to the names of parents. If the informant was knowledgeable and put down the names of parents, then wow, there's more information. In many cases, death certificates will not only give you the name of the parents of the deceased, but also where those parents are from. It points you someplace else. Many times there's another situation that's there. Did the deceased person die at home? Did the person pass away in a hospital? If the person died in a facility, a medical facility, are there perhaps other records that one can go after with that? All kinds of things. Information on the residency of the deceased person. That's probably going to point you to a city directory where you can sort of almost follow that person's migration or whether they moved around even within the same community. One simple record can generate so much additional information and point you to other areas. So I'm sure Sharma is going to talk about a lot of this. And if you are in the greater Washington, D.C. area and can find your way to Alexandria, you do want to visit the Alexandria Black History Museum. There is something that I think is going to be there for everyone. Again, the presentation is focusing on, and this is part two of two, vital records and what they contain, which I think is just absolutely fantastic. I mentioned when I first signed on about a new database. Well, the database I want to direct your attention to is called Legacies of British Slave Ownership. And I think this is going to be something of interest to a lot of people. And I went to the website, by the way, which is UCL.ac.uk. Well, I went to the site just to see if the database was a friendly or user-friendly database, and it appears to be very, very friendly. I would say that it's easily searchable, and a simple surname will point to, oh my gosh, several countries within the United Kingdom, and yes, countries, not just something that is city specific. We are talking about a number of countries that do appear there. And I was just really, really more than thrilled to play around with this database. So, and I know that there are a lot of people who have ancestors who have migrated here in recent decades, whose ancestors may have come from somewhere in the UK or other parts of the British Empire, I'll say. And yeah, this database is pointing to some of those islands also in the Caribbean. So I think it could be quite useful. And it seems as if, and maybe this is just my opinion, but it seems as if there's been a lot in recent weeks coming out of Britain. I know that there was, oh gosh, I don't know, I want to say perhaps within the last month or so, there was an interesting documentary shown on public television here, but it was a BBC documentary on forgotten British slaveholders. I found that to be, you know, just refreshing, that information surfacing, coming from a source that we don't see a lot. And those of us who probably have no knowledge of the fact that we may also have had ancestors who ended up in the British Isles, and I'm sure we probably do, which explains why we end up with matches sometimes from Europe. And again, persons unknown ended up there through accident of geography. But yeah, that's something actually to pay a lot of attention to. I'm just really impressed. And of course, I know that there's even been more interest of late with, what was the name of the film, The Book of Negroes. Of course, that again is looking at, of course, other parts of the Americas, looking at individuals who ended up in Nova Scotia and other parts of Canada. But yes, as I said, again, wow, there's a lot coming from, I'll just say, the British Empire. But finally, in my opinion, I'll say finally anyway, looking at slavery and the legacy of slavery within other British countries or Anglophone countries, I'll put it that way. And so, yes, I'm really quite pleased to see that that is certainly coming forth. One of the things, of course, that I also want to mention is that as genealogists, that I know we all get caught up in our own personal search. We get caught up in our own personal search for our own personal ancestors. But it is important to step back, and take a look. Yes, take a look at the community. Take a look at not just the pages before and after the pages where you found your ancestors, but to really take a look at, I guess, the larger history, the macro history, so to speak, meaning as we research, for example, our ancestors who had been enslaved, well, you know, slavery was widespread. In other words, what was slavery like in that community? What was it like in that state? What was it like in that geographic region? And also, what was it like, even on a larger scale, in the Americas? We tend to be very domestic in our research when we should become global, perhaps, or at least certainly more international in our search. We need to embrace our, certainly our sisters, our brothers who are researching from other parts of the Americas. And it's so easy to forget. Just by accident of geography, we are here in the U.S. as opposed to, or in North America, as opposed to being in Jamaica, as opposed to being in Barbados, and especially those with South Carolina ties. It is truly an accident of geography that you're not in Barbados, because there was such traffic and regular traffic between that island and that state, particularly in the 19th century. So, yeah, there's an awful lot for us to at least be cognizant of. And I hope that we really think globally as we do what we do, and that we really realize the importance of really having just a better sense of just history and the world. So I really hope that we do that. Changing the subject just a little bit, I hope that you were able to tune in last night to listen to Bernice Bennett's show. Her guest was Doreen J. Ketchens, who is a jazz enthusiast, a talented and gifted musician, as are other members of her family, but also a person whose interest is spreading the culture and the tradition of New Orleans music, New Orleans created music, New Orleans inspired music, and her interest is preservation as well as playing and making good music. She is sometimes called, in fact, she has a group called Queen Clarinet. She's been called the female Louis Armstrong. She plays the woodwind instrument, the clarinet. So gifted, so talented, but also with such a strong interest in history. And this is what I found truly inspiring. Plus, we got a chance to have a little bit of musical entertainment as well as listening to her speak. And I really hope that you will pay attention to that and tune in if you missed it last night, not just for the music, but really just for a sense of history. You, I think, can truly appreciate a different, I guess, spirit behind what is there and the need to preserve the music, the original music as it surfaced, and some of the aspects of the culture, listening to her speak about the first line and the second line, and someone even coming from the chat saying, you know, we ought to have a second line after the national conference in October. Excuse me. And just such, excuse me, an appreciation for something that's really sort of dying in many ways, but it doesn't have to die if we continue to, number one, honor what has come before us, but understand that culture that is uniquely American, which is jazz, and how beautiful and how beautifully inspiring it is. Good discussion, and those in attendance were showing such appreciation of what they were hearing as well. Yes, tune in, listen to Miss Jenkins, Miss Ketchins, I don't believe I called her Jenkins, sorry, Miss Ketchins, and just get the message and the spirit of what she was talking about. Such a wonderful, wonderful attitude towards music and our musical history, our musical heritage, which is very American. It's something that we really need to show a stronger interest in listening to, and not just listening to, but just preserving what was given to us, certainly by those who are now gone. So, yes, a lot to learn. Tune in, as you know, Bernice's show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, I mentioned that I had just gotten back online from watching a live stream cast. This was very interesting, and this was something that I thought it was a lot of fun to watch. Tom Reed was coming from Utah and was really talking about the Freedmen's Bureau Indexing Initiative, part of even a larger global indexing initiative going on all of this week. And the goal is to get everybody who's within listening distance to at least download an index, one batch, even if that's all you do. Just index a batch, and hopefully you'll be inspired to index another. But even if you do one, hey, I think this can be done. I believe that now we're 16% through the task of getting these records indexed, which is fantastic. What am I talking about? The Freedmen's Bureau, the Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen, and Abandoned Lands. Well, Family Search, as you know, has uploaded the records, digitized the records, and the task is to get them now indexed. Well, this is particularly going to be useful because those who descend from enslaved men and women are going to be able to assist with getting more Civil War era ancestors' names digitized so they will be fully searchable. And there's an effort to get people to just assist in restoring those records through indexing, and of course digitization has kept them preserved and made them available to everyone. But this will help all of us. It will help the larger community as well. And as a result, then I can just only say, hey, there's been a challenge put out there to the genealogy community. Let's put that challenge out there to ourselves to get involved. And to get involved, and I'm going to put that challenge out there to you. Have you done any indexing today? Index at least one batch today. It's not going to take long. It won't even take a half an hour out of your day. But you're going to do something that is probably going to, could perhaps, in fact, change the trajectory of someone else's life by making something available to them that they can find, and not just find and say, oh, wow, there's great-grandma. Mm-mm. This could alter someone's life when they find a record and realize, oh, my gosh, we survived. Our ancestors persevered. They survived. They were resilient. And sometimes just that information, that evidence can be so inspiring. It can make someone's life have a totally, totally different flavor, and can also perhaps maybe even send them in on a new journey and send them in a new direction. Yes, the Freedmen's Bureau Indexing Initiative, I challenge you, please get involved. Please index a batch today. I'm going to index later today, at least one batch, maybe more. And I urge you to do the same. Let certainly others know, whom you know in the genealogy community, to also get involved. So my goal and insistence for today, excuse me, is that you index at least one batch and you tell one other person to index a batch as well and inspire them to index at least one batch. It is something we must all participate in. We must all take responsibility for really making this happen. Certainly, we can't, you can't, what is it someone said to me? You can't complain about the food if you don't come to the table. Well, maybe we need to come to the table, get involved, so we can then go forward at this point. It's a charge all of us are taking. I am certainly passing this on to you, the listeners. I really hope, if nothing else, as soon as you finish listening to this podcast, decide whether you want to take 15 minutes right now. It's very simple. If you haven't indexed already, there's a quick tutorial, and you can get started. At least download one batch today and index that batch. You won't regret it, and trust me, countless numbers of people in generations yet to come will be so grateful that you did. This is a wonderful opportunity to pay it forward, as it is sometimes said. Yes, join the indexing initiative. It is so very, very important. Well, oh my goodness, I'm looking at the time. It is really passing too quickly. And I'm really hoping that you will certainly not only get involved with that, but, well, continue to do the hard work you're doing. I'm very impressed. I've been hearing from several people who are immersed in writing projects. I, too, am immersed in a writing project. And, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time working on one chapter right now and hoping to move forward into another arena next week. But, yes. Yes, yes, I'm busy, as I know many of you are. And those of you who I know are always busy, understand that I appreciate you taking out a little bit of time to listen to me rant and rave and go on and nudge you to do anything from telling your own story to joining the collaborative indexing initiative, which certainly I hope that everyone does. But thank you. I can't thank you enough just for being there and just for consistently showing your own interest in so many things in terms of getting involved. And it's all important what you do. There are a lot of things that are underway, I know. You know what? We're, 2 weeks away? And summer season will be over. It won't be quite fall, but certainly summer will be truly winding down. I hope many of you are not having too much of an uncomfortable time during the heat wave that's rising again. But, wow. You know, whatever you do, of course, is appreciated. And I just love being a part of the genealogy community. It's such a wonderful community to be a part of. But anyway, time is going on. I'm watching the time. Going to wind it down for this week. But I do hope that you will, of course, continue to do all of the things that you do and know what I'm going to say. Yes, I do want you to keep researching, and yes, I want you to keep documenting, and always, as you know, you are urged to keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well, be safe, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.